This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to set the right expectations before a difficult conversation so both sides know what it is for. Clear the air before it starts by framing the conversation with purpose. In short, setting the right expectations before a difficult conversation is not a formality. It is the foundation that determines whether the conversation produces understanding or just more tension. Without a clear frame, the other person fills the silence with their worst assumption. Good framing names the purpose, states your intent, and confirms both sides are ready to engage. The frameworks in this article give you 5 reliable ways to do exactly that. Definition: difficult conversation expectations are the shared understandings both sides carry into a challenging workplace discussion about its purpose, tone, and intended outcome. Setting them before the conversation begins reduces defensiveness, prevents misread intent, and creates the conditions for genuine dialogue. You can prepare for weeks, choose exactly the right words, and still watch a difficult conversation collapse in the first 30 seconds. I've done it myself more times than I care to count. The reason is almost never the words. It is that the other person did not know what the conversation was for. They walked in expecting blame and heard criticism instead of concern. They expected a performance review and got a confrontation. Without a clear frame, people protect themselves rather than engage. And from that point on, you're not having a conversation at all. You are managing 2 separate defensive monologues. Setting the right difficult conversation expectations before the substance begins is one of the most underused skills in workplace communication. It takes under 2 minutes. It costs nothing, and it separates the conversations that produce real change from the ones that produce resentment. The 5 frameworks below are the ones I reach for most often. Each one is a different shape for a different situation, but they all do the same essential job. They tell both people what this conversation is for before a single hard word lands. Why most difficult conversations fail before they begin? Think about the last time someone said, "Can we talk?" Without any other context, your stomach probably tightened. You spent the next hour running through every possible thing you might have done wrong. By the time the conversation started, you were already braced for impact. That is the cost of an unframed conversation. The other person's imagination fills every gap you leave, and it almost never fills them generously. Without knowing the purpose, people default to self-protection, and self-protection shuts down the very openness a difficult conversation requires. Good framing is not manipulation. It is respect. It tells the other person, here is what this is for, here is what it is not for, and here is how I would like us to handle it together. That brief signal changes everything that follows. If you want to know how unspoken expectations create tension before a word is even spoken, that piece goes deeper into why the gap matters so much. 5 frameworks for setting difficult conversation expectations. Framework 1. The intent statement. What it is. A 2-sentence opener that names your purpose and explicitly rules out the interpretation you most want to avoid. Designed for any difficult conversation where the other person is likely to assume the worst or where past history has created distrust. How it works. Number 1. Name your positive intent. I want to talk because I think we can work together better, and I want this relationship to be solid. Number 2. Rule out the threat. I am not here to criticize your work or put you on the spot. Number 3. Invite engagement. Is now a good time, and are you willing to hear me out? When to use it. Conversations with someone who has reason to feel defensive, someone you have a complicated history with, or any situation where your motives might be misread. When not to use it. If the other person already trusts you deeply and the conversation is a natural extension of an ongoing relationship, the formality can feel odd. Reserve it for higher stakes moments. Worked example. A manager needs to address a team member's missed deadlines. Instead of opening with the problem, she says, "I want to talk because I genuinely think you're capable of doing this work brilliantly, and I want to figure out together what is getting in the way. I'm not here to build a case against you. Can we take 15 minutes? Eamon's note. The relief on a person's face when they realize you're not there to hurt them is something I have seen hundreds of times. It takes 4 seconds to deliver an intent statement. Those 4 seconds are worth more than 4 hours of careful argument. Framework 2. The conversational contract. What it is. A brief verbal agreement, made before the conversation begins, that establishes the ground rules both sides will follow. Designed for conversations where emotions are likely to run high, or where previous discussions on the same topic have gone sideways, how it works. Number 1. Name the purpose of the conversation in one sentence. We are here to talk through what happened last week and find a way forward. Number 2. Propose the rules. I would like us both to speak without interrupting, and if either of us needs a moment, we just say so. Number 3. Ask for agreement. Does that work for you? Or would you change anything? When to use it? Recurring conflicts, emotionally loaded topics, situations where one or both people have a history of shutting down or escalating. When not to use it? Brief, low-stakes exchanges where imposing a formal structure would feel disproportionate and bureaucratic. Worked example. Two colleagues have clashed repeatedly in meetings. Before a one-to-one, one of them says, "Before we get into this, can we agree on a few things?" We each get to finish our point before the other responds, and we are trying to solve the problem, not win the argument. Agreed? The other person nods. The conversation that follows is the best they have had in months. Eamon's note: a contract does not guarantee a perfect conversation. It gives both people something to return to when things get difficult. We agreed to hear each other out is a powerful reset, spoken quietly mid-conversation. Framework 3. The Purpose Boundary Outcome Frame PBWO. What it is: a structured three-part opening statement that names the purpose of the talk, sets a clear boundary around what is not being discussed, and states the outcome you're hoping for. Designed for high-stakes conversations where clarity of scope is critical, such as performance issues, role conflicts, or interpersonal tension that has been building for some time. How it works. Number 1. Purpose. The reason I wanted to talk is name the issue plainly, without accusation. Number 2. Boundary. This is not about explicitly limit the scope so the conversation does not sprawl into every grievance either person holds. Number 3. Outcome. What I'm hoping we leave with is state a concrete, achievable result, a shared understanding, an agreed change, a clearer way of working. When to use it. Complex situations where the conversation could easily expand into old wounds and unrelated grievances. This framework holds the edges firm. When not to use it. Simple misunderstandings that can be resolved quickly. PBWO is a framework for conversations with genuine complexity and emotional weight. Worked example. A team leader addresses a conflict between two colleagues. The reason I wanted us all here is that the tension between your two teams is affecting decisions that the whole organization relies on. This is not about who is right in the last three disagreements, and we are not relitigating the past. What I want us to leave with today is one concrete change we can all commit to. Eamon's note: the boundary step is the one people skip most often, and it is the one that saves the most time. A conversation without a clear scope will expand to fill every available grievance. Setting the boundary early is an act of mercy to everyone in the room. Framework 4. The Readiness Check. What it is: a simple two-step practice that confirms both the timing and the emotional state of the other person before any difficult content is introduced. Designed for situations where you have the conversation prepared, but the other person may be caught off guard, stressed, or in the wrong frame of mind to engage well. How it works. Number 1. Name that you need to talk and ask about timing. I need to have a conversation with you about something important. Is now a good time? Or would later today work better? Number 2. If they say yes, add a brief signal about tone. I want to be straightforward with you about something, and I want to hear your side fully. It will take about 20 minutes. When to use it. Any time you cannot control when the conversation happens, or when you suspect the other person is already under pressure. It also applies when starting a difficult conversation that has been blocking progress for too long. When not to use it. If the matter is genuinely urgent and cannot wait, the readiness check still applies for tone, but the timing question becomes moot. Worked example. A colleague passes in the corridor. You have been meaning to address a tension between you for 2 weeks. Instead of seizing the moment, you say, I have been wanting to talk with you properly. Could we find 30 minutes this afternoon or tomorrow morning? It matters to me that we sort this out. You get a better conversation in a proper setting than you ever would have in a hallway. Eamon's note. Catching someone off guard and then expecting them to engage thoughtfully is like handing someone a difficult equation and starting the clock before they have picked up a pen. Timing is not a courtesy. It is strategy. Framework 5. The Acknowledgement Bridge. What it is: a short acknowledgement of the emotional difficulty of the conversation, placed before the frame, to lower defensiveness and signal genuine respect, designed for conversations where the other person has reason to feel threatened, embarrassed, or hurt by the very fact that the conversation is happening at all. How it works. Number one, name the emotional weight. I know this is not an easy thing to hear, and I want you to know I have thought carefully about how to approach it. Number two, signal respect for the relationship. I'm having this conversation because I respect you and I want things to be better between us. Number three, then introduce the frame. What I want to talk about is followed by one of the other frameworks above. When to use it. Conversations about behavior that has affected others, situations involving embarrassment or perceived failure, or any moment where the other person is likely to feel exposed. When not to use it. Where the emotional weight is low, and a bridge would over-dramatize a straightforward exchange. This is for genuine difficulty, not routine friction. Worked example. A manager needs to address the fact that a senior colleague's behavior in meetings is undermining others. She opens with, I want to say first that I'm raising this because I think highly of you, and I know this is not easy to hear. I have sat with it for a while before coming to you. She then frames the conversation using the PBO structure. The colleague's shoulders visibly drop before the hard content arrives. Eamon's note. People carry their wounds into every conversation. The acknowledgement bridge does not pretend those wounds are not there. It says, I see them, I'm being careful, and I'm still here. That alone can be enough to keep the door open. Choosing the right framework for the situation. Not every framework fits every conversation. Here is a quick guide to help you choose. Situation, best framework, distrust or difficult history with the person intent statement, high emotion, previous conversations escalated conversational contract, complex, multi-issue conflict, needing clear scope, purpose, boundary, outcome, PBO, other person may be caught off guard or stressed, readiness check, other person likely to feel exposed or embarrassed, acknowledgement bridge, ongoing team conflict affecting group performance, PBO plus conversational contract combined. These frameworks are not mutually exclusive. In the most demanding conversations, you will find yourself combining two. The acknowledgement bridge works well as an opener before almost any other framework. The conversational contract pairs naturally with PBO when both scope and ground rules need to be established. For conversations that sit inside a larger team conflict, the guidance on using the deal method to resolve fracturing team dynamics shows how to build on this foundation once the conversation itself is underway. The broad principle is this: choose the framework that addresses the specific risk in your situation. If the risk is mistrust, use intent statement. If the risk is escalation, use the contract. If the risk is scope creep, use PBO. Match the tool to the problem. Where these frameworks break down. Even good frameworks fail when they are delivered poorly. Here are the mistakes I see most often. The mistake. Reading the framework like a script, word for word, in a flat tone. Why it happens. People memorize the words instead of internalizing the purpose. What to do instead. Know the three components of your chosen framework by heart, then speak them in your own voice. The structure is the scaffold, not the speech. The mistake. Using framing language, but then immediately launching into accusation. Why it happens. The opening was good, but old habits reasserted themselves the moment the content began. What to do instead. After your frame, pause for a breath. Let the tone you just established carry into the first substantive sentence. The mistake. Asking for agreement on ground rules, but not actually honouring them when things get heated. Why it happens. The pressure of the moment makes people forget what they agreed to. What to do instead. If the conversation starts to escalate, return to the contract explicitly. We said we would hear each other out. Can we do that now? Is a complete sentence and a full reset. This is also the moment when knowing how to de-escalate arguments in the middle of a conversation becomes essential. The mistake. Using the acknowledgement bridge as a way to soften a blow rather than as a genuine signal of care. Why it happens. People sense the formula even if they cannot name it. Acknowledgement that is not felt is worse than no acknowledgement at all. What to do instead? Only use the bridge when you genuinely mean it. If you do not respect the person or care about the outcome for them, that will come through and the framework will backfire. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency over the next 30 days. You will not master these frameworks the first time you use them. That is fine. Fluency comes through deliberate repetition, not natural talent. Start with the intent statement, because it is the simplest and the most universally applicable. Use it in the next difficult conversation you have, even a minor one. Notice how the other person responds to the opening. Notice whether defensiveness drops before the substance begins. In week 2, try the readiness check. Pay attention to how often you were previously starting conversations when the other person was not in a state to engage well. The difference in outcome will be immediate and obvious. By week 4, try combining the acknowledgement bridge with PBO in a high-stakes situation. You will notice that the combined opening takes less than 90 seconds and fundamentally changes the emotional temperature of what follows. For conversations that land inside a team or group setting, the principles in how to handle conflict during meetings will extend what you've learned here into that more public, higher-pressure environment. Keep a note of what worked and what did not. Not a formal diary, just a sentence or two after each significant conversation. Over 30 days, you will see clear patterns, which framework you default to, which situations still trip you up, and where your natural fluency is growing. The patterns in your notes will tell you exactly where to practice next. The moment before the moment. Here is the truth of it. The hardest part of a difficult conversation is not the confrontation itself. It is the 5 seconds before it, when both people are deciding whether it is safe to be honest. Your framing determines what those 5 seconds feel like for the other person. If you give them nothing, they fill the gap with fear. If you give them a clear purpose, a stated intent, and a signal that you're here to work through something together, you change the ground beneath the conversation before a single difficult word has been spoken. That is what good difficult conversation expectations actually do. They do not make the conversation easy. They make it possible. Every framework in this article is a way of saying, before anything else, I see you, I'm not here to harm you, and I believe we can get somewhere useful together. That message, delivered with genuine care, is the strongest opening you will ever use. Frequently asked questions. What are difficult conversation expectations, and why do they matter? Difficult conversation expectations are the shared understandings both sides carry into a hard talk about its purpose, tone, and boundaries. Setting them in advance reduces defensiveness, prevents misread intentions, and gives both people a clear path through the conversation without it derailing. How do you set expectations before a difficult conversation at work? Start by naming the purpose of the talk, not the problem itself. State what outcome you're hoping for, confirm the other person is ready to engage, and agree on ground rules before the substance begins. A brief framing statement of 2 or 3 sentences is enough to orient both sides. What should you say to open a difficult conversation without triggering defensiveness? Lead with intent, not accusation. Say what you hope to achieve and what you are not trying to do. Phrases like I want us to understand each other better or I'm not here to assign blame lower the emotional temperature before the hard content arrives. Why do difficult conversations go wrong before they even start? Most difficult conversations collapse in the opening seconds because one or both people do not know what the talk is actually for. Without a clear frame, the other person fills the gap with their worst assumption, and defensiveness arrives before a single real point is made. How do you set the right expectations when the other person is already defensive? Acknowledge their emotional state before you frame the conversation. Say something like, I know this may feel uncomfortable, before naming the purpose. This brief acknowledgement signals respect, lowers the guard slightly, and makes the framing that follows far easier to hear. What is a conversational contract in a difficult discussion? A conversational contract is a brief verbal agreement made before a difficult discussion begins, covering purpose, tone, and how both sides will handle disagreement. It takes under 2 minutes to establish and significantly reduces the chance that the conversation will spiral into blame or silence. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.